Okay, are we ready? All right. I think we can begin. Let me just say a word about the notes. It's not that I don't think our brothers are efficient to put it on the board. I know they do, and I know they will. But a couple have expressed that they enjoy the notes because they might put a note or two, a thought in the margin. So even though I know it'll be on the screen, that's why I've handed out the notes. And I think you're familiar, the purpose of the notes is just the order of the verses in which they'll be quoted so you can follow along or use your device or your Bibles or whatever. As we come to look in the Word, you know there's one principle of Bible study beyond all others. Others are helpful. This one's indispensable. And it's total reliance on the Holy Spirit. Only God can reveal God. And He's promised He would do it if we would come as little children. He has to even work that attitude in us, that childlike attitude. Let me just share Psalm 18:28 before we pray together. It says, "For you light my lamp, the Lord my God illumines my darkness." You light my lamp, the Lord my God illumines my darkness. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can trust you to light our lamp. You are the light, and we pray that if there's any darkness, that light would dispel that darkness. And we just want you. We want to see you. And so, Lord, we commit this session unto you and just ask your Holy Spirit to do what he so delights to do and turn our hearts, our eyes in a living way unto the Lord Jesus. We thank you in advance that you will over-answer our request because we come in the all-prevailing name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We all know, and I hope you're anticipating and praying, that the Lord has arranged another gathering for Labor Day weekend. And we are very much excited about that. I want to share this verse, Amos 8:11. "The days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea, from north to east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord. They'll not find it." I want to begin by saying, praise God, that famine, the fullness of that famine, has not yet come. And there's still God revealing his word. I think it's getting closer, but it hasn't come. I do have a message on my heart. I'm thankful for the privilege. I always express that, and in my deep heart, I mean that, especially when the history we have since the late 70s and the families mingling, and it's a privilege to stand before you and give you something from our Lord Jesus. I'm going to state what the theme is for the weekend. This is sort of a teaser. It's an introduction so that you'll know exactly where we are and where we're going. It's about an expression that is several times mentioned in the Bible, and the expression is the light of the world. Clearly, it refers to Jesus. John 8:12. Jesus again spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then again in John chapter 9, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That expression, the light of the world. But Jesus not only applied it to himself, but he used it in another way. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. He's the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Now, you have known me too long, and I think you know me too well, for me to think I can impress you by quoting Greek or Hebrew or one of those languages. You know better than that. But in the language, the Greek language of the New Testament, in my research, I discovered that there are several words for the same thing. And there are different words for light in the New Testament. And one of those words primarily has the nuance, the source of light. I am the light of the world, phos, that's the Greek. He said, I am the source of the light of the world. And there are other Greek words for light, and it talks about a light holder, like a lampstand, or like a torch, or like a candle. The candle's not the light, it carries the light. Manifest the light. And there are words that are used to describe the manifestation of the light. I can understand when Jesus said, I am the light source. That makes sense to me. Who else is the light? Jesus is the light. I expected when I saw, you are the light of the world, I expected him to use one of the weaker Greek words that would say, you are the lamp, I'm the light, you are the torch, I'm the light. You're the candle. I'm the light. You're not the source. You manifest light. You put it forth. You reflect it. But you're not the light. And I was surprised to learn. He said, I am the source of the light of the world. And he used the same word. You are the source of the light of the world. I'm not only the light of the world. He used the strong Greek word. And that arrested my attention. And I came before the Lord. That's how it all started. And I said, Lord, in what sense? I can see that I can manifest your light. In what sense am I the source? And that study led to what we're going to look at. Lord willing, what are we going to call it? Hashua? When we get together, Labor Day weekend. Praise God, he has allowed us to flock together again. Now, it's a very simple truth. Once we see what he meant, it's very simple. And it's not new to you. You have heard it. You've heard it over and over. I've heard it expressed, heard it sung, I've heard it prayed. We already know. But that answer so thrilled my heart again. So this morning, as I give it to you, you're not going to get anything new. I'll yell in different places to make it sound more exciting. But it's the same truth you already know. And I hope God does for you what he's begun to do for me. He's quickened my heart to the reality that I am privileged to be the source of the light of the world. In what sense? We'll look at that. So the burden on my heart today, this morning, is all the eggs in one basket. It's everything. I'm going to give you, but I'll use a different illustration. I won't mention this illustration again when we gather at Labor Day weekend. This is one illustration that illustrates this. The four illustrations I'll use Labor Day weekend illustrate the same thing. So all you're getting today is a different illustration of the same truth. Since we're talking about the light of the world, we're talking about light. We're talking about shining. I thought it would be good if we got a little historical background. But then as I studied, I thought, no, that won't help. Historical background. They need a little pre-historical background. So I'm going to give you, and what I mean by that is the history before God created man. Prehistorical background. Now, I'm talking then about what predates Genesis chapter 1. So you say, well, what's your verse on that? It's before Genesis chapter 1. There's not a lot of scripture. And there's no way, I mean, because, you know, at that time, Satan fell. I am not qualified to go into that and talk all about the fall of Satan. But in that record, there's an illustration. So I'm going to just touch the record, leave it to you theologians to figure out all that had happened. And I'm just going to reach into the story and say, see, light, let's talk about that. That's the picture that I want you to see. In fact, there's a couple of figures of speech. Basically, there are two passages in the Bible, this is just for interest, that will give a little light on the prehistory. And that is Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 to 19, and then Isaiah chapter 14. Verses 12 to 17. I'm not quoting that, so that's probably not on your sheet. I don't know if it is or not. Both passages are talking about the wicked king of Tyre. And God is saying, here's the wicked king. And it describes how wicked he is. But some of the description can't apply to him. You were in Eden. King of Tyre says, are you kidding me? I was never in Eden. Because he's describing the wicked king and the influence behind him. And he begins to describe Satan and the fall of Satan and so on. So those are your two passages. You can study those at your leisure. I want to begin with Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. Another translation says, Lucifer, you've been cut down to the earth, you who weaken the nation. The figure of speech is star, son of the morning. Satan, Lucifer, is called light, son of the morning. I'm told by those who are supposed to know that it's the same expression as our Lord Jesus used, morning star. Lucifer, the devil, imagine, called a star, a morning star, son of the morning, brightness. So I was studying light. That's got me there. Okay, so you know how I got there. When you read Ezekiel 28, you see some of the descriptions before he fell. He's called the anointed cherub, and he's called full of wisdom. And perfect in beauty and blameless in all his ways. There was a day in prehistory before God created man when Satan was all light. When Satan was the morning star. That's a figure of speech, but figures of speech mean something. And so I just want you to hold that. In light of that, in the same prehistory, angels, Satan was called morning star, angels were called stars. Job chapter 38, before man was created. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? What were its bases sunk? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The morning stars sang together. Those are angels. They're called morning stars, and they say, by the way, that's the only time in the Bible you ever read about angels singing. All through, even in Revelation, they don't sing. It says, and the angel said. This is the only time. But my point is, in prehistory, Satan is called morning star, dawn of the morning, and all the angels are called stars. That's a figure of speech. But one sad day, Isaiah 14:12, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You've been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. The morning star, the light, the brightness, the day star fell. Ezekiel 28:15, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. I'm not qualified, I don't know. I don't know the exact time and all the details of that. Godly men, godly women differ in understanding those things. But there's a description in Revelation 12. And verse 3, and I'm not going to try to put it in the chronology, because like I said, I've read the different views. But I think it's pretty clear that it's referring to Satan. And it says, Revelation 12:3, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. His tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth. I know the difference in time and all that. I don't want to get into that. But I think the dragon is Satan, and his tail swept a third of the stars. I don't think they're the literal stars. I think they're the angels that fell. And he swept. How many angels did God create? All I know for sure is there's a verse that says an unnumbered host. And there's many verses that describe how many, but one third of however many fell. And the stars fell to earth, and Lucifer fell to earth. And sometime literal stars in heaven, sun, moon, stars, sometime they're called the host of heaven. And for example, Deuteronomy 4:19, it says, beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon, the stars, all the host of heaven. Be drawn away and worship them. The host of the Lord are the stars. But sometime it's angels. Remember when our Lord Jesus was born? Luke 2:13. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God on the highest. Those are angels, the host of God. All right, hold that a moment. Satan was the bright star, the morning star. Angels are stars, only a figure of speech. Angels are messengers, that's what the word means. Let me comment on the same history, not to explain all the details. I don't know them, but I'm going after this figure of speech. The morning star sinned. Pride, want to be like God, he sinned, and he fell. And in the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus was talking to his disciples, I'm paraphrasing one part of it, but he said, brothers, I was there that day. I saw that. Luke 10:18, he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Our Lord Jesus saw the day that happened. And when Satan, the light, and the angels, the stars, fell, the light went out. Satan became darkness and king over a kingdom called Kingdom of Darkness. And the angels, the stars, became demons, and they fell. And where'd they fall in this great universe of possibilities? To the earth. That's not new to you. You know that. But what a picture that is. Satan fell. Now darkness. Angry that he's not liked. He's going to masquerade as a messenger of light. Because he wants you to think he's light. He wants me to think he's light. He's not light. He's dark. Darkness. And he set up a kingdom. And he hated God. He hated God because of God casting him out. And that his great standing as light and all the angels as stars, messengers, suddenly became demons and Satan, darkness. And in his mind, he said, I hate you, God. And God then, the record, creates man in his own image. And Satan says, you're not going to have that. And you know, in the garden, Eve was tempted, and Satan was tempted, and Eve was deceived, and Satan, they conspired with Satan, and they agreed together, and they were confederate together. Satan said, if I'm in darkness, you're going to be in darkness, and I'm going to be the king over you. And if I'm judged and cursed because of darkness, I'm going to take that which is his handiwork, his beautiful creation. Now you're going to be in darkness and you can share my curse. That's just prehistory. When you read the New Testament, again, the Greek, again, not my scholarship. Praise God for my books. There are several words for the word world. Satan was cast down to this world. And the one word that's used to describe world into which Satan fell and the world over which he became king is the word cosmos. You've heard of cosmos. That's the word. And as you go through your New Testament, 187 times, God says, cosmos, cosmos. And that's what's so precious. When you read, God so loved the cosmos that he sent his only begotten Son. God so loved the world of darkness, the world over which Satan was now king and reigning. When you read of Satan's power and control over this kingdom, this world, it's terrifying on the level of earth. He's the accuser. He's the devil. He's the serpent. He's the dragon. He's Apollyon. Terrible words used of him. Ephesians 2:2. He's called the prince of the power of the air. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case the God of this world, that's Satan, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There is not one drop of light in Satan, not a drop, a beam, I guess. Mixing metaphors there. There is no light in Satan. No light in his demons. 5:19. We know we are of God and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. The whole world is in darkness under his delusion. And you don't have to open your eyes too wide to see that. The government, education, culture, all of society, religion, mankind, the lusts of the heart, the principles, the methods of this world. This is Satan's world. This is Satan's world. You know the full record. I was born. We just said happy birthday. He was born. You sang happy birthday. He only got one birthday. That was his anniversary. And so happy anniversary. I was born into this kingdom of darkness, Satan's world. So were you. We were born into this kingdom. And we've been blinded right from birth. We don't know we're being blinded because he wants us to think he's still light. We don't even know it's his world. We just come in, but we're blind. John 3:19. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Jesus told the religious world, John 8:44, you're of your father the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth. There's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He's a liar and the father of lies. There's no truth in him. He's a deceiver. Like I said, he fakes light. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. No wonder Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Well, I don't want to take any more time telling you how dark the world is. All you got to do is turn on TV. All you got to do is open your eyes and you see it all around. The moral decline, it's everywhere. Corruption. In the schools, in the courts, in government, in Hollywood, in my neighborhood, your neighborhood, my house, your house, my heart, your heart. Unbelievable. But thank God that the story does not end with bad news. The word gospel is good news. And this whole story is so beautiful. I'll begin with the verse I've already quoted, John 3:16. God so loved the cosmos, the kingdom of darkness, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish with Satan and his fallen demons, but would have everlasting life. God loved the cosmos. Lucifer and his fallen stars, they're condemned to darkness forever. 2 Peter 2:4, God did not spare the angels when they sinned, cast them into hell, committed them to pits of darkness, reserved forever. Jude 13, wandering stars to whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. That's who they are. But God didn't want his subjects, man created in the image of God, those in the kingdom that Satan wanted to control, God had mercy on them. He didn't want them to be in the kingdom of darkness and end up that way. And so he sent his Son to redeem us out of one kingdom into another, out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom called light. John 1:9-10, that was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world. The world was made by him, but the cosmos didn't know him. The world didn't know him. It's good news that Christ came into a pitch black world, into this cosmos, to bring light. And he said that light was life. There's no life apart from that. John 1, 3, and 4. All things came into being through him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. Light and darkness. That's all we're talking about so far. You remember when he was born in Bethlehem? The proclamation Simeon made in Luke chapter 2? He said, he looked into the face of Christ and he said, my eyes have seen God's salvation. And then he says, a light, a revelation of light to the Gentiles. Glory for thy people Israel. He was in the world. And he came into this dark world to save sinners. To save you. To save me. I was born in darkness. I didn't plan on that. That's how it was. John 12, 36. Jesus said, while you have the light, believe in the light, so that you might become sons of light. John 12, 46. I've come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. There's a cure. There's a redemption from this darkness. Jesus was pleading with his people to receive him. But as we said, John 3, 19. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. John 1:11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. When he came in love to the cosmos and darkness to redeem, to save, to lift them out of darkness, they rejected him. The world he made, they tried to extinguish the light. We had our brother singing about the road of suffering, the road to the cross. When Jesus was on the way to the cross, here's one thing he said. Luke 22, 53. This hour and power of darkness are yours. This is your shot. Put out the light if you think you can. And you know the gospel story. Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your transgressions, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And when he had, this is the part I want you to see, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him, through it, through the cross. The demons were around the cross cheering as Jesus died. They said, that's it, we put out the light. They were rejoicing, these denizens of darkness. And the very cross, you know how God turns things around. And it was their destruction. Well, the good news, not all rejected the light. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the privilege, the power to become the children of God. 1 Peter 2:9. You will hear this Labor Day weekend. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, holy nation, people of God's own possession, so you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God had mercy on some. Call them out of darkness. They repented. 2 Peter 1:4. By these he's granted to us precious, magnificent promises. By them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the cosmos. It's a world of darkness. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the God of this world. It's a world of darkness. He wants to hold you in darkness. Hold me. He's holding the whole of humanity. Galatians 1:4. He gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. And then Colossians 1:13. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. Took us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. A great day for us, 2 Corinthians 4:6, when God, who said light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Glorious day. We became at that time, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, you are sons of light, sons of day. We're not of the night, not of the darkness. So clear, the picture, what happened? Satan, light, fell, darkness. Christ, light, came into the world of darkness to redeem those. And those that received him became sons of light and children of the day. You've heard my testimony. For me, it was 1958. I came as a sinner before God. The Holy Spirit, through human instruments, gave me the gospel and told me that I saw that I was doomed. I was in this kingdom. I needed to be delivered. 1958. Well, for me, I happen to know January 29, 1958. I got a date. I don't know when I was conceived. I only know when I was born. Because God has, we can't keep track of that. I don't know your day. I don't know what it is. You probably know, maybe you don't know the day, but you know the reality of it. But there has to be, for every person ever born in this world, has to be a day. There has to be a time. There has to be an hour. There has to be a moment when they open up to receive the light of the world. And when the light of the world comes in, suddenly you become light. You're in a new kingdom. It's not darkness anymore. We were born in darkness, born under Satan. And Christ is redeeming those who receive him. It's marvelous truth. I pray, you can't judge me, I can't judge you. I pray everyone in this room has had that day or hour. And everybody who's going to listen in a mechanical way to this lesson. Boy, don't die in darkness. Don't die in your sin. You don't have to. The light of the world has come, and it's a light of life. Glorious day. Once again, 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're still with our feet on the ground. We're stuck here in this stupid cosmos, this wicked world. But Christ has come into our life. Now, getting back to the big thing. Does that make me the source of light? Because Christ has come into my life and I'm now a child of the day? Not yet. Not yet. Let me take you to the next step. This is such a glorious thing. Satan's no longer the day star. Revelation 22:16, from the lips of our Lord Jesus. I am the root, the descendant of David. I'm the bright and morning star. And he's given us this. He calls this, that's one of the other words, a lamp. This is a lamp. He said, pay attention to the lamp, 2 Peter 1:19. 2 Peter 1:19. We have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you pay attention as a lamp. Pay attention to the lamp. Until what? Until the day star rises in your heart. You don't study the lamp to know the lamp. You study the lamp to see the day star. Until he rises in your heart. Marvelous, marvelous truth. Let me just apply it a little bit, because the Lord has, I was going to say led, graciously dragged me through some experiences. And one of them was, when I saw those verses about the lamp as a new Christian, I thought he was telling me to quit sinning and shine for Jesus, both of which can't happen. I don't know if you ever tried to quit sin. You can't stop sinning. I can't stop being proud. Can't stop being jealous. You can't stop being unforgiving. You can't stop being impatient. You can't stop sinning. That's why the light came. Because the purpose of light is to dispel darkness. You got darkness in your life, there's only one way to get rid of it. Bring in the light. Light dispels darkness. And that's the whole glory of it. I think for a while there, I was taught, and I'm supposed to shine for Jesus, was many years before the Holy Spirit told me, please let me shine for myself. Stop shining for me. You're doing a terrible job. Don't shine for me. I've come into your heart as light. I am the light of the world. And to the degree I live in your life, you are the source of the light. Because I have the source in my heart. That's the light. And if I get out of the way, if I reckon myself dead, the one who is the source will live in me, and I become the source of the light for this world. Colossians 1:12-13. Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, as I wrap this up, I want to go back. I skipped a few verses there, if you're confused on the page. I want to go back, complete the circle. I want to go back to where we began, when I said Satan was pictured as a morning star, and angels were pictured as stars, and then the angels were swept away, and he fell, and it's all darkness. Genesis chapter 1. This is the new creation. Well, this is when he created, and he is now redeeming. That's theology. Let's forget that. All right. Genesis chapter 1:3. God said, let there be light. That was day one. When did he create the light bulbs? Day four. There was light before there was light bulbs. There was light before there were stars. Day 4, Genesis 1:14. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons and days and years. Let the lights be in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, separate light from darkness. God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the fourth day. Now, that's literal. He did that. It's also a picture. And that's what I want. I say, Lord willing, Labor Day weekend, I'm going to give you four pictures. Not this one. This is for this morning, just to show you the great truth. Because in the first creation, there was light before there were instruments to carry the light. In the new creation, there's light, and then God comes to me and says, how would you like to be a star? And the light comes in, and now I'm a child of light, and I have an inheritance of light, and I'm a son of light, and I'm a child of the day. Later, after he created light, he created luminaries to manifest that light. That's also true in the new creation. The God who said, let there be light, has shone into our hearts. It's a new creation. And the same thing, he came first, and then all of a sudden, he shone into our hearts. And the purpose, according to what we read, the purpose of the stars, well, there's a couple. Our brother Jeff shared last week a quote from Austin Sparks on how everything takes place, must take place in the heavenlies. Heavenlies. Not heavenly places. I listened. In the heavenlies. And where are the stars? All right. The purpose of the stars is to give some kind of hope to the dark earth. That's the purpose of the stars. To be able to show them the difference between light and dark. To give energy. To give light. To give sight. To give life. To give direction. They need to navigate. They need a star to get to God's desired haven. And so in God's book, in this wonderful Bible, because the earth can't find its way and doesn't know how to be governed and is in darkness, God says, I'm going to have some stars. I put them in the heavenlies. Because the earth needs help. They're in terrible darkness. When God said, let there be light, shone in our hearts. I'm not making this up. Matthew 13:43. The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Daniel 12:3. Daniel describes the privilege of soul winning. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse in the heavens. Those who lead many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and forever. Describing believers as stars is not my bright idea. Revelation, no pun on bright there, who... He got that. All right. Revelation 1:16. In the right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in its strength. I'm not going to go into the revelation of Christ in chapter 1, but one of the mysteries. He had in his right hand seven stars. And there were seven churches. People go everywhere on that, so I'm not going to get there. But let me say a word about the number seven. Because I think that's pretty much agreed upon. That often, not always, often in the Bible, more than 800 times, for example, in the Bible, when the number seven is used, it's a number of fullness and a number of completeness and so on. So when you read about seven churches, you know there were other churches at that time. Those are representative churches. And they refer to all the church. What God said to those churches, he's saying to me. He's saying to this church. The warnings he gave, he's given to us. The promises he made are for us. It's for all the churches. Seven churches. Just picture all the churches. Seven stars. Well, some people say, because it says seven angels, the stars are the messengers, the angels of the church. Some people think they're literal angels. You know, I was going to say the kind with wings, but I guess they don't all have wings. But you know what I mean with angels. Some say every church has an angel. I have a problem with that because they're called upon to repent. And I'm not sure that could apply. So some say, well, it's the messengers. It's the human messengers, like the pastor or the elder or the leaders or something like that. When God gives qualifications for elders or bishops or deacons, He's not a respecter of persons. They don't have special qualifications. Their qualifications He gives to all Christians. Every qualification belongs to all Christians. He's just saying, make sure you have at least arrived that far before you take on responsibility. But that God has given it to everybody. And so the stars are not some pastor or some elder. If seven churches are all the churches, seven stars are all the messengers. You're a star. Everybody in this room that's saved, that knows Christ, is a star. Such a wonderful reality that the only way we can be a source of light is in the sense that He's the source of light and He lives in us and through us. I think we miss out on a great blessing because we get wrapped up in pictures and we don't see the reality. A lot of people just get stuck in the picture. And so I say, you're a star. And that's a picture. I have to smile. If Brother Donald were here, he could tell us a little bit about physical stars and how many galaxies and how many stars. I have to smile when I realize God pictures Christians as stars because some are pretty far out there. I've had the privilege this week of having a brother. I hadn't seen him in 50 years. And we spent some time together this week. And we're going through some theology. And I won't say everything our brother said, but I think in some things he thought, are you a star or a black hole? As we just had wonderful fellowship back together. When Job was told that even the stars are not pure, that was an accusation against Job. That's what it was talking about Job. In Isaiah 40 and in Psalm 147, when he says, I heal the brokenhearted. I call every star by name. I'm not sure when he said he called every star by name. He was talking about Sirius and Centaurus and Cannabis and some white dwarf. I don't think he was talking about those. He holds you in His hand. He knows you by name. He knows those who are His. And stars have a ministry. And the ministry, the light was created first and then came to live in those things. So that's what Jesus did. He's the light. He came to live in here. And He now calls me the hope of the world, the source of the light for this dark world. He wants to shine through. When you go through the book of Revelation, there's a lot of word pictures. And I'll be glad to give it to others to say what's literal and what's figurative and all of that. But when I read about a lamb with seven eyes and seven horns and locusts that look like horse and they've got the teeth of lions, I say, I'm pretty sure that's figurative. But then you got to figure out what it means. Dragons and beasts that have many heads and coming out of the mouth of the false prophet, they're frogs. I don't know. Some things are literal, some things are not literal. But when it says that a star falls to earth, I don't know a lot about stars, but it's over for the earth. But in Revelation, it keeps going. I don't think the star that fell to the earth was a physical star. The point is, God has given us a great picture. And in the book of Revelation, it says one third of the stars will lose their light. In Revelation, I know in the tribulation, God's people are going through a hard time. They're killing them. They're cutting their heads off. They're being slaughtered. Maybe one third of the stars being darkness is this dark earth has just wiped out one third of the testimony that they could have had when they killed the Christians, when they killed God's people. It's not always literal when it says stars. John 17, verse 14. I've given them your word. The world hated them because they're not of the world. I'm not of the world. I don't ask you to take them out of the world. Keep them from the evil one. They're not of the cosmos, just like I'm not of the cosmos. 1 Peter 2:11. I urge you as aliens and strangers. We don't live here. We've been delivered out of that kingdom. We've been brought to the heavenlies. We've been given the privilege to let the light, who is the source of light for the world, shine on darkness. They have no other hope. Only you. Only me. Only us. Only Christians who know what it means to live in the heavenlies. And they're going to be the testimony. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's our calling, our ministry. Ephesians 5:8, you were formerly darkness, now you're light in the world. Walk as children of light. Philippians 2:15, prove yourself blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. And so as I wrap it up, I said a lot, but I really didn't say a lot. I only said a little. And the little I said is, in what sense then am I the source of the light of the world? And the answer is simple, and I said before we started, you know it. To the degree Christ is allowed to be in my life, he's the source of light. And to that degree, and only that degree, am I given the privilege to have a ministry in this crooked and perverse world, in this dark, dark world. They need the light, but they don't need me. They need the light, but they don't need you. They need the light. They need to see Jesus. And Jesus said, by your permission, I will shine through you and I will shine on the world. Because I was so burned by this, I want to just state it again. Don't try to shine for Jesus. You know, somebody said, the Bible says don't hide your light under a bushel. Well, you'll not be able to find that verse. It's not in the Bible. Never says don't hide your light under a bushel. It says you can't hide your light under a bushel. You know why you can't? Because their lights were candles and their bushels were straw. I have a suggestion. If you want to test it, try to hide your light under a bushel. And the very next verse said, a city on a hill can't be hid. Can't be. You don't shine for Christ. He shines for himself. He lives in your life to become the light. And light dispels darkness. And as you know him, the darkness goes out. The light gets brighter and brighter. That's the testimony. Did you ever apply this verse to your own heart? Psalm 18, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. I know that's true of little stars. That surely shows the power and the glory of the Lord. But it's also you. The heavens, we are the language. We are the hope for this world. You're a star, I'm a star. He holds me in his hand, he holds you in his hand. Here's the outline we'll follow. I told you I had four pictures. I would like to use the lampstands that are in the Bible. Lampstands, light, you know. These illustrations. In Exodus 25, there's a picture of the lampstand in the tabernacle. We move along. Zechariah chapter 4, there's a lampstand in the temple. We move along. Revelation, the lampstand, the church. Moving from the tabernacle to the temple to the church. These pictures are progressive. And what I'd like to show you in these pictures is how Christ is the source of light in me, the instrument. So those are the pictures, the lampstand. You say, what's the last picture? The only other time Jesus said he was the light of the world. He went up to the man born blind. The first thing that man heard Jesus say, I am the light of the world. Then he took clay. Put it on. That is the last illustration, John chapter 9, because it is the manifestation, if indeed the light of the world lives in me, what will it look like? And the answer is, I will have a tremendous ministry with those born blind. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Not what we think it means, but everything you've inspired it to mean. Will you please help us understand that by your Holy Spirit? Prepare our hearts. Lord, we think of this great privilege that the one who said, let there be light, has now come to shine in our hearts, lifting us from the kingdom of darkness, transferring us to the kingdom of light and the kingdom of your dear Son. Lord, teach us what it means to be instruments of the light of the world. We ask in Jesus' name.